All right. Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's great to sing praises to the Lord and great to hear that bass with the praise team. And just what a blessing it is to be in God's house. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to be looking at a series of messages. The first message, until Thanksgiving Day, obviously on things that regard to Thanksgiving. Today, the title of the message is In Everything. What? That's the question. And everything. I think you know the answer to that. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each and everything that you've done in each of our lives. I know that there are many, many things, Father, that we're not even aware of that you've done for us. We're thankful, Father, that you formed us in our mother's womb, that we're thankful that you have given us life and our days are numbered according to your will, but you're in control. We're thankful, Father, for the fact that you've blessed us with spouses and children for those of us that are married. I pray, Father, that you would just help us to have open eyes to the things that we are thankful for that we've not really saw before, that you would speak to our hearts about things that we've overlooked. And may we just come to you with a thankful heart, for it pleases you when your children are thankful and they acknowledge you in that thankfulness. Now, Father, I just pray that you will do your work this morning, that you, dear Holy Spirit, will be obviously that much more in our presence through the preaching of your word. And I pray that the very person and name of Jesus, your son, will be lifted up high, that all men will be drawn unto him. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. As I was saying in that prayer, that God loves it when we express thankfulness to him. And what that does for us, it shows our gratitude. When someone comes up to you and says, thank you, it's really a reflection of their gratitude for whatever it is they're thankful for. We have a lot of things to be thankful to God for. And in that, when we are thanking him, it not only humbles us and gives us a sense of awe about who God is and his love for us, his care for us, but it helps us to remember how involved God is in our lives. And so we need to be thanking God more and more every day. In fact, expressing thanks to God is the start of gratitude. But failing to have or show a heart of gratitude is, in fact, an act of ingratitude to God. That's something that's a twist, isn't it? That when we're not thankful to God, we're not being grateful for what he's done, and we don't have that sense of gratitude. Therefore, we have an attitude of ingratitude. Right? We're not showing him how much we appreciate him. So expressing thanks to God is the start of gratitude, but failing to have or show a heart of gratitude is an act of ingratitude towards God. I want you to listen to an example of this as I read an example of ingratitude. Edward Spencer was a ministerial student in Evanston, Illinois, and also a member of a life-saving squad during his high school years. In 1860, a ship went aground on the shore of Lake Michigan near Evanston. And Spencer waded again and again into the frigid waters to rescue 17 passengers. In the process, his health was permanently damaged. Some years later, at his funeral, it was noted that not one of the people he rescued ever bothered to thank him. That's very sad, isn't it? Because God knows what he did. God knew his heart. God knew his intervention. And sometimes that's all we need to look at. God knows, and that's what matters. But it's nice to have that acknowledgement and that gratitude that shows through a thankful heart towards somebody that has done something for you. And so gratitude, I want you to hear this because it's really important. Gratitude opens our lives for God's will to be done for us. It becomes a door or a portal to experience his perfect will for us. That excites me because I want to know the perfect will of God for my life. And as we seek God and pursue him, the very act of having gratitude towards God actually opens our lives to be that much aware of God's will in our life. Because like I was saying before, if we're thankful to God, we're acknowledging him on a regular basis, which helps us to keep our focus on him, which also enables us to hear him more because we're that much more focused on him. And in that, God uses that to direct us, which is that door or portal, and to experience his perfect will. To know that we're in his perfect will, which is beyond what we think, beyond what we can imagine, anything that we think that is even possible for us. God will put us in his will and, forgive me for the expression, blow our minds. We're just, wow, look what God has done. Look how he's called. Look what things he's done in my life that I never thought were possible. We should express thankfulness to God, but the question is how often? We should be doing that every day. We should have thankful hearts to God that goes beyond, of course, Thanksgiving Day, right? In fact, I'm going to ask you, how many of us take the time on Thanksgiving Day to thank God? Or is it a gathering of food and family? We need to take the time to actually acknowledge him. We did something one year that was a lot of fun. We kept it. We put a blank vinyl tablecloth on our, we had all the family around, and we put colored markers all around and said, write down what you're thankful for. And you go back several years later and you read what they were thankful for. And it's really cool. It's a great reflection. But it also, as a family, we would read off what we were thankful for. And it was a time of acknowledging God, but as a family, acknowledging that together. And I know God is pleased when we individually or collectively do that. But how much does God want us to be thankful to him? This look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let me get that right here real quick. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is God's will, that in everything we give thanks. If you have a blowout on the highway, you feel like saying, thank you, God? But we might say, thank you, God, for not allowing me to get in a wreck, if that was the case. We might say, you know, thank you, God, for your protective hand. We could add any scenario to that, but I'm convinced that if we look to God and to say, God, show me what to be thankful in this, I believe God will show us just that. But it's difficult to say thank you during those trying and especially painful times. Maybe you lose a loved one and you say, well, how can I say thank you for that? But we might be able to say thank you, Lord, for who they were in my life, what they've done in my life. Or thank you, Lord, for the witness that's coming through their life, even in the event of their death. There could be all sorts of things that we can look to be thankful for during those trying and painful times. The Holy Spirit will reveal those things to us. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe you want to give thanks to God, but you don't know how? You don't know what to say? You're in a circumstance where your words aren't coming to you? When we go to God and we simply say, God, show me how to be thankful in this situation. If we earnestly are seeking after him, I think God will open our eyes to that. And I think it will not only illuminate us, but it will also comfort us. It will also encourage us. It will also build our faith. It will also be something that we can reflect on, that God has done in our life, or maybe something that we've never seen before. And so that's exciting to me. God says that it's his will that in everything we give thanks. And when we don't know how to give thanks, we will ask God, if you choose to, what to be thankful for. What else happens when we're thankful, especially in difficult circumstances? It helps us to have a different perspective. It helps us to see things even with a sense of gratitude. It changes things. It changes it to where we're looking at things a little bit more through God's eyes. Sometimes we have to be determined in our own effort to be thankful. Not wait for our emotions to stir us, but to say, God, I want to be a child of God that daily is thankful to you. Maybe waking up in the morning saying, God, thank you for allowing me to be alive. Some of us have those physical conditions where where mortality is directly in front of you, and you wake up and say, God, thank you for giving me another day. But in doing this, again, it draws our attention to God, and it builds our faith, and it lifts our hearts instead of weighing it down because of that different perspective. I want us to consider there's five things that I want to go over this morning. And each five, don't worry, each five points are at least five pages each. No. But I'm going to look at five points this morning on things that we can be encouraged to pray for and give thanks to God for. First, be thankful for God's blessing on our lives. That seems to be the easy one, doesn't it? We look around and see all the blessings God has given us. Nonetheless, it may be easy, do we do it? Nonetheless, if it's easy, do we acknowledge God? And that's what we need to do. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. I love that. Everything that's good in our lives comes from our Father in heaven. That the interest in you and me individually, God says, I'm going to give you what is good. And it's perfectly good. When it talks about there's no shadow in the light of God, it means that there's no adjustments in God. In other words, there's no shadow of darkness. There's no evil. There's no question of, well, I think I'll change that. It needs to be this way. It's in his perfect light of truth and love that he gives you and I full knowledge. This is what I want to give you, and it is perfectly good. What a blessing that is. Every good gift and every perfect gift, see that, is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. He is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the light of the world, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And so, giving thanks goes far beyond giving thanks for what we receive. Does that make sense? It's easy for us to give thanks for what we have, but it goes beyond what we receive. The second point is, be thankful in your prayers. If your prayer life is lacking, include thankfulness. If your prayer life is one that needs to be lifted up and not one that's weighted down, because usually we go to the Lord with the weight, the weight of issues in our life, the needs. But if you want it lifted up with joy, have a heart of thanksgiving in your prayers. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. First of all, I love the fact that we can bring all of our concerns to God. Amen? There's nothing that we can... He's our Father. He loves us. And we can go to him anytime with anything in prayer, but remember to give thanks. If you notice here, be anxious for nothing. Don't get uptight about it. Take it to your Father. That's not easy, but we can do it because he enables us to do just that. But in everything by prayer, first thing, by prayer and supplication, your request with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you for this trial. I don't get it. This week I have been just going through, I have been so bombarded with warfare. Just, you ever have things that just go in your head that are ugly, that, where'd that come from? I'm thinking in a way that's not appropriate. Where'd that come from? And it just nonstop hit all week. And I'm like, all that was happening is the old sinful man coming up in thoughts. And I knew I was supposed to put away the old man and put on the new man. So I said, Lord, what is it that I need to be thankful for here? And what I got so far from it is this: to keep your faith, your focus as best you can on God. You're going to learn to call on God that much more. You're going to endure this, and you're going to go back and you're going to look at something that you gain from that, that says, you know, even though we're hit hard from every angle all the time, our mind is just getting all flustered because of the stuff that's entering into it, that you were able to know that God was there. He loved me, he was there, and he enabled me to get through that instead of being defeated by the enemy. Because the enemy will tell you how worthless we are. God will tell you how great we are in his eyes, how much he loves us. Being thankful and grateful during our prayer time is God's formula for prayer. We're always making our requests known, but we're not thanking him, then our prayer life is hindered. We're not just supposed to give him the requests, right? But our prayers should express our adoration of God and our thankfulness to him for what he has done and is doing in our lives, right? You see how it shifts the paradigm of focus in prayer? Every prayer that we include thankfulness directs our heart to God with joy. If we don't include the thankfulness, it doesn't show gratitude. And so he misses out on that blessing. We can actually bless God by giving him thanks. Going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to look at 17 and 18. It says in verse 17, pray without ceasing. This means that you're to, we joke around, you're supposed to close your eyes and pray while you're driving? No. We can mentally be in contact with God and pray, right? When I was about 10 years old, I worked with my dad in a place called Coconut Grove, and it was in southern Florida. It was the counterpart to Greenwich Village in New York. Liberal, artsy, wild place full of rich people. And I remember working at this gas station. My dad was a mechanic. I was at the gas station. He was a bus driver for this elite school. And I remember we're at the gas station. I got a buck for each windshield that I washed. And so as we're working at the gas station, I would see those in the faith of Hare Krishna. And what they were doing that kind of baffled me was that they were constantly walking down the street like this in prayer. Is that the way that God wants us to pray unceasingly? Well, it's not wrong for them to pray. They're maybe not praying to him, but it's not wrong to pray, I suppose, like that. But what God is saying, make your life a habit of prayer. Amen. Talk to me all the time. That's what God is saying. Talk to me all the time. Give me thanks, give me praise, but I already know your heart, but I want you to talk to me so that you can recognize your heart before me. You can recognize your thankfulness and your gratitude before me, because I want you to know me in greater depth and how involved I am in your life. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do we want to be in God's will? It's not a mute thing. It's not a simple thing in the sense that it's not important. It's a very valuable, important thing that God wants us to do. He tells us, give thanks. Not hard to do, right? Give thanks. It's amazing that we can enter into the throne room of God. You know, in the Old Testament, you know, if the priest went into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat was on top of that, it's like a lid in the very Shekinah glory, a glimpse of the wonder and the glory of God in that room. If the high priest entered into there without having been sanctified, set apart, washed, everything done perfectly, if he did not go in there, especially with the right heart and prepared as the Jewish law was, he walked in there with bells on the bottom of his robe and material pomegranates, and they would ring together, and it was like a piano with the cushioned hammers on a piano, and it had a melody to it. And they would listen because they tied a rope to his ankle. And if he went in there and dropped dead because he wasn't with the right heart and prepared by respecting God, he dropped dead. They would hear the bell stop, plink, and they'd grab a rope and drag him out. They weren't allowed to go in the Holy of Holies. When Christ died on the cross, that veil that separated that holy place from that very holy of holy place was this curtain about this thick and so high and impossible to tear, but God tore it from top to bottom. What was that about? We, you and I, through Christ, can actually enter into the office of God. Open door policy. No rejection. Through prayer, we have the privilege of entering the throne room of God without fear of rejection or judgment, because our judgment has already been taken care of on Christ, on the cross, on the cross. Ephesians 3:12 says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him." Now that's something we can be thankful for, right? We can thank God for the past times in our life that we've accomplished. We can thank God for what he's doing in our life now. We can thank God for the courage he gives us to face the challenges that he places before us. The third thing is, be thankful in your worship. I thought this was really interesting, and you'll see why in a moment. That worship begins with a thankful heart. So the question is, are we truly thankful when we enter into God's house? Are we truly worshiping him if we're not thankful? You see, the Hebrews, when they went up to the mount of the temple, they would go up with joy and singing and celebration because they were going up to the temple to worship God together. Let's put that in context today. Technically, when we drive in the parking lot or drive in the church, we should be excited and singing and praising God for who he is. And when we enter in together as a family, as a group, that we worship God in that congregation, in that collective corporate body of Christ. But the question is, or maybe the observation is, very few of us come into the parking lot singing. And the reason is because we're not taking time to thank God. The challenge is for you and I to thank God. We understand it. We might even say, I'm going to try it. But we might find ourselves forgetting it. But if we ask God to help us to have a thankful heart, then we will. In Psalm 100:1-4, it says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts, parking lot, with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." That means to say good things about him. That means to lift him up. That's what we do when we bless his name. And so, that should give an emphasis, it's an example, to what we should be. When we come to church and we don't have a thankful heart, we don't have a focus on him, we're not prepared to come to church, and we go through the routine of church, there's no joy. But when we do just the opposite, we come to church with expectation and what God wants to say to us, and with joy in him. And that's what we ought to be doing more and more. In Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Have you ever walked into walked by a Christian? Let's say our walk into the fellowship hall, and our hear Pam back there humming and singing. Well, that humming and singing can make me feel like I'm humming and singing. You know, when we have a joy in our heart and one another, we hear us singing, we might even tune in to the song and sing along with them. It's weird for us to think that way, but God tells the Colossians, and he's telling us, he's saying, encourage each other that we sing the song, sing the hymns, that we are singing grace, about his grace in our hearts to him. We should be a singing people, because singing reflects thankfulness. It reflects thankfulness. I'm so happy in you. I'm so thankful for you. And the Spirit of God just sometimes will just move on our heart and cause us to do, oh, where'd that tune come from all of a sudden? And you start singing it. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Interestingly, it says sacrifice of praise. You know, sacrifice means giving something up of ourselves, surrendering something of ourselves to God. How are we to understand sacrifice of praise to God? We're sacrificing our time. We're sacrificing our focus. We're sacrificing any distraction for the sake of praising him. Sometimes it has to be deliberate. Sometimes we have to simply say, you know what? I want to praise you today. I want to have a heart of praise to you today, Lord, and I'm going to look for you to stir my heart to do just that. So let's not forget God's grace in our life, because what has God done for us? What grace has he given us? Big open question, right? Let's narrow it down. As believers, we know him. We just don't enter into the throne room, the Holy of Holies, the open door policy of God. We know him. Now, it's not just like we know our boss. I had the youth today. Forgive me, but they have a window, you know, and as they started the class, the window became their door. And I'm going, yeah, I'm not so sure I like that, you know. That's quite a while back. So what did I do today? Yeah, I'm not going through the door. I'm going through the window door. So I go in, and what are you doing going through the door? You said you didn't like that. I said, I thought I'd do something different. And one of the youth looked up and said, kind of like having the principal walk in the room. I said, you want me to wear jeans and a t-shirt? Yes! Yes! Right? But see, that's not how we should approach God. We don't have to, surely with reverence and a pure heart, a right heart, but God is our Heavenly Father, and we have the privilege to go into that office, that throne room, knowing that that person at the desk, being God, loves me more than I could ever imagine, receives me, does not reject me. He is not the boss that get out here and get to work. He's the one, so I'm so glad you stepped in and we can talk. That's what God wants. A thankful heart that talks to him, and knowing that we're received by him, loved by him, comforted, encouraged, and so many other things. That's God's grace. That's God's grace, that we know him personally. We also are thankful for the fact that God wants to use us. I think so many Christians miss the point. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I have my insurance policy. You heard it over and over. But the focus as we follow God should be, you have called me with a purpose for you and your kingdom. And my sacrifice of surrender to you, my life given to you, following you and doing what you want me to do, is a reflection of my gratitude, my thankfulness for the fact that you paid the ultimate price for me on the cross and you gave me the privilege of eternal life. You gave me the wonder of knowing God personally forever. And so God says, I'm not only giving you eternal life, but I want you to know that I have a purpose for you, to include you in his work, to bring him glory, to exalt him, to praise him, and to thank him for who he is. Look, you know, when we're in God's will doing what God wants us to do, there is a blessing. I'm going to use the word anointing, or maybe the unction, with the old term, unction of the Lord, where we sense God's blessing. When we're in God's place doing what God wants us to do, and we know we enjoy it, we're blessed by it, we're encouraged by it, we grow in it, and we praise God and give him thanks for it. And that's what God wants to do. That's what God has for us. Fourth, be thankful for fellowship. We have friends that we're thankful for, do we not? We have our family that we are thankful for. We might have good neighbors that we're thankful for. We have a church family that we're thankful for. We're to be thankful for fellowship. Contact that we have with each other and outside our church is a good gift from God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I come to church on Sunday, when I see someone walk in the door, I go, thank you. But that person specifically, not putting them above anyone else, but that I might have woke up that morning with a sense, oh, I hope so-and-so is there today. And then when I see him walk through the door, I'm going, woohoo, they're here. Or see others or things like that. We encourage each other in fellowship. You're not just here. We're not just characterized as the family of God or the congregation, the family of this church. We are to enjoy the fellowship of each other, the company of each other, the blessing of each other should lift each other up to cause us to say, God, thank you for the family we have here. Thank you for the friendships we have here. Thank you for the brotherhood that we have here. Thank you for the sisterhood that we have here. Thank you for the family we are in you. Thank you for the encouragement we get from each other. Thank you for all that we get in your house because of the fellowship that we share. When we have those times of potlucks, when we have those times that we are working together, when we're doing ministry together, when we're painting together, repairing together, serving together, going on a focus of mission together, whatever we're doing, and we're enjoying winter jam. Is that how you say it? Yeah, winter jam. I want to make sure. Wife's like, yeah, don't look at me. Winter jam, right? Okay? There's a fellowship. Even waiting in line to get into the place, there's a fellowship that's rich. And that's what we are to give God thanks for, that fellowship. Colossians 1:3 says, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. I want to tell you, my personal opinion is that we are thankful for those that God has brought into our lives. Right? And not only are we to be thankful that God has blessed us with the others that he's brought into our lives, but we are to be thankful for the affection we have for each other, the love that we have for each other. Maybe in prayer you might go, Lord, thank you for so-and-so. They have richly blessed me today as my brother or sister in Christ. And then maybe there's a person that comes to church that just irritates the daylights out of you. Come on, we're all there, right? We have personalities. But in prayer, I can say, thank you for that person because you're teaching me how to understand and to love that person that irritates me. You're bringing me from a place of irritation to a place of love. Understanding someone, growing in that relationship, working through the difficulties, are worthy and of us giving thanks to God, and they're a blessing as well. Friendship's important to our lives. You've heard it before that if we have five friends in our lifetime that we can call lifetime friends, we have, wow, what a great success, what a great blessing. I say if we have one good friend in our life that's proven themselves over the test of time, that have established a lasting trust, love, and respect for each other. I mean, you have somebody through the years that you know that we've gone through the ups and downs, we still love each other, we still have that trust, we still have that love for each other and that respect for each other that becomes something that's unshakable. Isn't that a rich blessing? I want you to understand what Howard Hughes, for those of you that don't know who Howard, I'm learning that I'm older than I realize. I was talking to Miriam in the car the other day as Bob and I were taking her to a doctor's appointment, and I was talking about the guerrillas in Iran that had broke out, and she looks at me and goes, I said, did you learn that in history? Mm-hmm. Oh, I said, that hurt, because I lived through it. I was on my way there. But here we have Howard Hughes regarding a friend. He had about approximately $4 billion. And he wrote this, I'd give it all for one good friend. There's more value in a friend than all the money in the world. And that friendship will last a lifetime if it's passed those tests and have established those trusts. It was sad for him and it's sad for us when we find ourselves desiring that friend. When we look at our life and go, I don't have that friend. That's sad for us. But we can thank God for the desire. We can thank God for the acknowledgement of what's important in friendship. And we can thank God that we can ask him for that friend or those friends, right? So in our fellowship, we are the family of Christ. One other thing about that fellowship. Have you connected, made friends with other Christians that you would never have made friends with if they were not a Christian? Example. Generally speaking, we connect because we have common interests. I have some friends that they're great with mechanics, they're great builders. I am the worst builder person in the world. I make more of a mess of building than if I just left it alone. But they have all the skills. Without Christ, I wouldn't have been able to connect with them. I wouldn't have been able to share in their interests. But the wonderful thing in Christ, we can find ourselves connected with people because of Jesus that we would never, ever be connected with. And that's a wonderful fellowship that we have for each other. Last thing, be thankful for our sufferings. That's a tough one. Be thankful for our sufferings. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we're thankful, it changes perspective and we can be carried through with a lighter weight when we're thankful to God. It's something to remember. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body to be thankful. If we have a thankful heart, it changes our perspective again. It shows us God is with us. It shows his intervention when we rely on him. It shows his blessing on us when we have gratitude and thankfulness, even through suffering times. And what's it say? And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. People might say, how in the world are you at peace through this? Because God, and I'm thankful for him and what he's doing in my life. That's humility before God. That's surrender before God. That's sacrifice before God. To lay down ourselves and say, God, I just praise you for being my God, my Father. You love me. And even though this is the worst thing I've been going through in my life, you are there. You love me. And you are my strength. And you will carry me. I want to close with the last example. Paul and Silas in Acts 16:25 says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Paul and Silas were focused on God and his will. They were on the path that God wanted them to be. They were faithful and obedient to God. They were servants of God, preachers of God, light in Christ. They represented him. They were absolutely doing what God wanted them to do, and they were cast in prison. Let me know, this prison didn't have AC, carpeting, TV, sports, workshop, all, wood shop, all the stuff, and all the medical, all that stuff. It was a dungeon. It was damp. It was mildewed. They had no bathroom except the corner, and they were shackled nude in this. You know, shackling. The arms and feet are shackled. And they're sitting there. They had been beaten. Their backs were flayed open. And they were sitting there, shackled next to each other. And they were singing songs to God. Wow! There's another one. Poof! Or mind-blowing. The peace of God is theirs. Why? Because they had a perspective from God. I am your child, you are my Lord. I am in your will, that's what I want. You have your purpose in all of this, and that's what I want. Your kingdom work is what I want, and whatever you want to do with me in that process, that's what I want. And we're here because you want us here for a reason that affects your kingdom work, and guess what happened? The prisoners are going, why are they singing? As you read on in the text, you find out that prisoners receive Christ as their Savior, even their families. God had a purpose in it. We have to trust him, even in our sufferings. So, are we practicing 1 Thessalonians 5:18? In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I want to thank you, Father, for the truth that you give us through your word and the confirmation that you give us by your Spirit. I want to thank you for the fact that we have more things to be thankful for than we could ever realize. And I pray you open up our hearts and eyes, our spiritual understanding, spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, spiritual heart, to intentionally listen to you and to hear and just see the things that you want us to see that are thankful. And even non-intentionally, that you would just grab our attention and say, look there. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you, Father, for your work and your blessings and your love and our fellowship with you and the fellowship we have with one another through faith in Christ. Bless this day and help us not just through Thanksgiving, but every day of our lives to say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.